You're listening to EuroFolkRadio.com, a voice for European people worldwide. Psalm number 2, concerning the Anointed One. Why do the nations rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the land set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against Yahweh and against His Anointed. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sits in the sky shall laugh. Yahweh shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. Yahweh has said unto me, Thou art my son, this day I have begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give you the nations for your inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the land for thy possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, you rulers of the earth. Serve Yahweh with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that take refuge in him.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the royal master leads against the foe.
Yes, shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. Show's word for word, I'm Pastor Steve, and this show is for the 12th of March 2018. How time flies when you're having fun. We're in the book of Jasher, Sefer HaYashar, the book of the upright, or scroll of the upright. And we've been making good progress. There are 91 chapters in Yashar. And we're taking our time going through these because there's so much information in them that we really just cannot rush through. A lot of stuff that's not in your King James in the book of Genesis and Exodus, etc., etc. We left off in chapter 61 and had a couple of deaths. of different people and defeat of Chittim. And in this chapter, a number of the original Israelites are going to pass. They're going to pass away. So we'll cover that and then get back into back into Zepho and the Edomites and the children of Esau are doing their evil thing. That is their nature. All through this time, they haven't really changed over the centuries. They were doing evil then, they're doing evil now. It's the same deal, different day. But before we get into that, let me get my website. You can download shows or listen to shows in case you might have missed some, or you had a storm and your power went out and you didn't get to catch the live deal. It's HTTPS, as in sugar, it's a secure site, /// www.pastor, P-A-S-T-O-R, Steve, S-T-E-V-E, .com. It's not an interactive site. You can't troll there. No comments, no opinions, no chat. It's for download and listening. And it has links to a lot of the Two Seed Line Christian Identity sites. Has sales information on how you can get my translations of the Torah, etc., etc. I have been working very hard on the prophets. I just don't rush through things and put things out with a lot of errors, spelling errors, etc. in them. I'm meticulous in my work because the gravity of the subject demands that. I don't fudge on the effort. I see a lot of Bibles put out and you go through them and somebody just didn't bother to proofread the text. They just pump them out. And they've got all kinds of stuff in them that's just, I have a little more respect for the work than that. I can't allow that. And if I find an error, I correct it in the master copy. If other people find an error that I might have missed, a spelling error, spelled something wrong, they let me know. And I correct it immediately. I just don't. I don't play around with it. It's real serious stuff, and it's vital to our lives. And it's too important to do slipshod work. So let's get into chapter 62 of the book of the upright, book of Jasher. Verse 1, in that year, being the 79th year of the Israelites, that's plural, going down to Mitzrayim, died Reuben, the son of Yaakov, in the land of Mitzrayim. Reuben was 125 years old. Old when he died, and they put him into a coffin, and he was given into the hands of his children. Verse 2. And in the 80th year, the year after, died his brother Dan,
He was 120 years at his death. And he was also put into a coffin and given unto the hands of his children. Verse 3. And in that year died Husham, king of Edom. And after him reigned Hadad, the son of Bedad, for 35 years. And in the 81st year died Issachar, the son of Jacob, in Mitzrayim. And Issachar was 122 years old at his death. And he was put into a coffin in Mitzrayim and given into the hand of his children. Verse 4, they're dropping off here. And in the 82nd year died Asher, his brother. He was 123 years old at his death. And he was placed in a coffin in Mitzrayim and given into the hands of his children. Verse 5. And in the 83rd year died Gad. And he was 125 years old at his death. And he was put into a coffin in Mitzrayim and given into the hands of his children. His family took care of him. They're dropping off one by one, all the patriarchs of Israel. Verse 6, and it came to pass in the 84th year, that is the 50th year of the reign of Hadad, son of Bedad, king of Edom, that Hadad assembled all the children of Esau, and he got his whole army in readiness, about 400,000 men, and he directed his way to the land of Moab. Okay. They went to Moab. And he went to fight with Moab and to make them tributary to him. Verse 7, and the children of Moab heard this thing, and they were very much afraid, and they sent to the children of Midian to assist them in fighting with Hadad, son of Bedad, king of Edom. Verse 8, and Hadad came into the land of Moab, and Moab and the children of Midian went out to meet him, and they placed themselves in battle array against him in the field of Moab. Verse 9, and Hadad fought with Moab, and there fell of the children of Moab and the children of Midian many slain ones, about 200,000 men. That's a lot of people for swords and axes and arrows and clubs and whatever. That's not firearms just mowing them down. That's hand-to-hand combat. That's a lot of people. Verse 10. And the battle was very severe upon Moab, and when the children of Moab saw that the battle was sore upon them, they weakened their hands and turned their backs and left the children of Midian to carry on the battle. Verse 11, and the children of Midian knew not the intentions of Moab, but they strengthened themselves in battle and fought with Hadad and all his host. And all Midian fell before him. They got wiped out. verse 12. And Hadad smote all Midian with a heavy smiting, and he slew them with the edge of the sword. He left none remaining of those who came to assist Moab. Killed them all. Verse 13. And when all the children of Midian had perished in battle, and the children of Moab had escaped, Hadad made all Moab at that time tributary to him, and they became under his hand, and they gave a yearly tax as it was ordered. And Hadad turned and went back to his land. As with the Edomites again, same people. Verse 14, and at the revolution of the year, that would be spring, okay, when the rest of Midian that were in the land heard that all their brethren had fallen in battle with Hadad for the sake of Moab, because the children of Moab had turned their backs in battle and left Midian to fight, five of the princes of Midian resolved with the rest of their brethren who remained in their land to fight with Moab to avenge the cause of their brethren. I guess so. Okay. They were going after Moab because of their cowardice. Verse 15. And the children of Midian sent to all their brethren, the children of the east, and all their brethren, all the children of Keturah came to assist Midian to fight with Moab. Verse 16, and the children of Moab heard this thing, and they were greatly afraid that all the children of the east had assembled together against them for battle. And they, the children of Moab, sent a memorial to the land of Edom, to Hadad, the son of Bedad, saying, they're going to bribe the Edomites. Verse 17, come now unto us and assist us, and we will smite Midian. For they all assembled together and have come against us with all their brethren, the children of the east, to battle to avenge the cause of Midian that fell in battle. Yeah, I guess. Verse 18. And Hadad, son of Bedad, king of Edom, went forth with his whole army and went to the land of Moab to fight with Midian. And the children of the east fought with Moab in the field of Moab, and the battle was very fierce between them. Verse 19, and Hadad smote all the children of Midian and the children of the east with the edge of the sword. And Hadad at that time delivered Moab from the hand of Midian. And those that remained of Midian and of the children of the east fled before Hadad and his army. And Hadad pursued them to their land and smote them with a very heavy slaughter. And the slain fell in the road. Verse 20. And Hadad delivered Moab from the hand of Midian, for all the children of Midian had fallen by the edge of the sword, and Hadad turned and went back to his land. verse 21. And from that day forth, the children of Midian hated the children of Moab. Okay. Big enmity. Because they had fallen in battle for their sake, and there was a great and mighty enmity between them all the days. Verse 22, and all that were found of Midian in the road of the land of Moab perished by the sword of Moab, and all that were found of Moab in the road of the land of Midian perish by the sword of Midian. Thus did Midian unto Moab, and Moab unto Midian for many days. In other words, if you were traveling in the wrong part of the country, you're going to get killed if you're of the wrong tribe. Okay, back to Israel. Verse 23. And it came to pass at that time that Yehuda, the son of Ya'akov, died in Mitzrayim in the 86th year of Ya'akov's going down to Mitzrayim. And Yehuda was 129 years old at his death. And they embalmed him and put him into a coffin, and he was given into the hands of his children. They're dropping off one by one. Okay, all the old men, 129 years old. That's a ripe old age, sports fans. Verse 24, and in the 89th year died Naphtali. He was 132 years old. See, this time period, there are a couple of more years and another one dies. And he was put into a coffin and given into the hands of his children. Verse 23. And it came to pass in the 91st year of the Israelites going down to Mitzrayim, that is in the 30th year of the reign of Zepho, the son of Eliphaz, the son of Esau, over the children of Chittim, the children of Africa came upon the children of Chittim to plunder them as usual, but they had not come upon them for these 13 years. Verse 26. And they came to them in that year, and Zepho the son of Eliphaz went out to them with some of his men and smote them desperately, and the troops of Africa fled from before Zepho, and the slain fell before him, and Zepho and his men pursued them, going on and smiting them until they were near unto Africa. Verse 27. And Angeas, king of Africa, heard the thing which Zepho had done, and it vexed him exceedingly, and Angeas was afraid of Zepho all the days. Because Zepho used to be with him years before. But that's an Edomite for you. They fight on both sides. It doesn't matter. That ends chapter 62. Now we'll get into chapter 63. And it starts out with another death. The verse 1 of chapter 63. And in the 93rd year died Lewi, the son of Ya'akov, in Mitzrayim. And Lewi was 137 years old when he died. And they put him into a coffin, and he was given into the hands of his children. See, it took more years for these guys to die off. So they were older and older and older until they were the last of them. And that was about all of them here. Verse 2. And it came to pass after the death of Lewi, when all Mitzrayim saw that the sons of Yaakov, the brethren of Yosef, were dead, all the Mitzrayim began to afflict the children of Yaakov. Okay, they didn't remember all the good they had done. They sort of forgot all that. And to embitter their lives from that day unto the day of their going forth from Mitzrayim. And they took from their hands all the vineyards and fields which Yosef had given unto them, and all the elegant houses in which the people of Israel lived, and all the fat, that means the goodness, okay, of Mitzrayim. The Egyptians took all from the sons of Yaakov in those days. They turned on them. Okay, but you have to realize there was a different king that didn't remember Yosef. Okay, verse 3. And the hand of all Mitzrayim became more grievous in those days against the children of Israel. And the Mitzrayim injured the Israelites until the children of Israel were wearied of their lives on account of the Mitzrayim. You see, the benefactor was dead. The one that helped all of Egypt. They were always jealous of Israel, and Israel were herdsmen. So they didn't like that. They were inferior. That's how they thought. Okay? Oh, these people are sheep herders. They're less than we are. And it came to pass in those days, in the 102nd year of Israel going down to Egypt, that Pharaoh, king of Mitzrayim, died, and Melol, his son, reigned in his stead. And all the mighty men of Mitzrayim, and all that generation which knew Yosef and his brethren, died in those days. That's the main factor, that nobody was going to remember that there was a huge famine. Oh, such a short memory. Verse 5, and another generation rose up in their stead, which had not known the sons of Yaakov, and all the good which they had done to them, and all their might in Mitzrayim. There's a new king, a Hyksos king. Okay. Verse 6. Therefore all Mitzrayim began from that day forth to embitter the lives of the sons of Yaakov, and to afflict them with all manner of hard labor, because they had not known their ancestors, who had delivered them in the days of the famine. Oh, it's so convenient to forget. But, here we go, verse 7. And this was also from Yahweh for the children of Israel to benefit them in their latter days in order that all the children of Israel might know Yahweh, their Elohim. Verse 8, and in order to know the signs and mighty wonders which Yahweh would do in Mitzrayim on account of his people Israel, in order that the children of Israel might fear Yahweh, Elohim of their ancestors, and walk in all his ways, they and their seed after them all the days. Verse 9. Melol was 20 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 94 years, and all Mitzrayim called his name Parao, after the name of his father, as it was their custom to do to every king who reigned over them in Mitzrayim. Verse 10. At that time, all the troops of Angeas, king of Africa, went forth to spread along the land of Chittim as usual for plunder. Now here's Zepho, the Edomite again. Verse 11, and Zepho, the son of Eliphaz, the son of Esau, heard their report, and he went forth to meet them with his army, and he fought them there in the road. Verse 12. And Zepho smote the troops of the king of Africa with the edge of the sword, and left none remaining of them, and not even one returned to his master. In Africa, the whole continent wasn't called Africa at that time. Verse 13. And Angeas heard of this which Zepho the son of Eliphaz had done to all his troops, that he had destroyed them. And Angeas assembled all his troops, all the men of the land of Africa, a people numerous like the sand by the seashore. Verse 14. And Angeas sent to Lucus his brother, saying, come to me with all your men, and help me to smite Zepho and all the children of Chittim, who have destroyed my men. And Lucus came with his whole army, a very great force, to assist Angeas, his brother, to fight with Zepho and the children of Chittim. Verse 15, and Zepho and the children of Chittim heard this thing, and they were greatly afraid, and a great terror fell upon their hearts. Verse 16, and Zepho also sent a letter to the land of Edom, to Hadad, the son of Bedad, king of Edom, and to all the children of Esau, saying, verse 17, I have heard that Angeas, king of Africa, is coming to us with his brother to battle against us. And we are greatly afraid of him, for his army is very great, particularly as he comes against us with his brother and his army likewise. Verse 18. Now therefore, come you also up with me and help me, and we will fight together against Angeas and his brother Lucus, and you will save us out of their hands. But if not, know ye that we shall all die. Verse 19. And the children of Esau sent a letter to the children of Chittim and to Zepho the king, saying, we cannot fight against Angeas and his people, for a covenant of peace has been between us these many years, from the days of Bela, the first king, and from the days of Yosef, the son of Yaakov, king of Mitzrayim, with whom we fought on the other side of Jordan, the Jordan River, when he buried his father. In other words, they weren't going to come and help their own. Verse 20, and when Zepho heard the words of his brethren, the children of Esau, he refrained from them, and Zepho was greatly afraid of Angeas. Verse 21, and Angeas and Lucas, his brother, arrayed all their forces, about 800,000 men, against the children of Chittim. Verse 22. And all the children of Chittim said unto Zepho, pray for us to the Elohim of your ancestors. Peradventure he may deliver us from the hand of Angeas and his army, for we have heard that he is a great Elohim, and he delivers all who trust in him. Now they're talking about Yahweh. The Edomites aren't Yahweh worshipers. They know of him. So let's see. Verse 23. And Zepho heard their words, and Zepho sought Yahweh, and he said, O Yah, Elohim of Abraham and Yitzhak, my ancestors, this day I know that you are a true Elohim, and all the Elohim of the nations are vain and useless. Verse 25, remember now this day unto me thy covenant with Abraham, our forefather, which our ancestors related unto us, and do graciously with me this day for the sake of Abraham and Yitzchak, our forefathers, and save me and the children of Chittim from the hand of the king of Africa who comes against us for battle. Verse 26. He said the right thing. He called for remembrance of Abraham. Verse 26. And Yahweh hearkened to the voice of Zepho, for he had regard for him on account of Abraham and Yitzchak. And Yahweh delivered Zepho and the children of Chittim from the hands of Angeas and his people. Verse 27. And Zepho fought Angeas, king of Africa, and all his people on that day. And Yahweh gave all the people of Angeas into the hands of the children of Chittim. Verse 28. And the battle was severe upon Angeas, and Zepho smote all the men of Angeas and Lucas his brother with the edge of the sword, and there fell from them unto the evening of that day about 400,000 men. Whoa. Verse 29. And when Angeas saw that all his men perished, he sent a letter to all the inhabitants of Africa to come to him to assist him in the battle, and he wrote in the letter saying, all who are found in Africa, let them come unto me from 10 years old and upward, even the kids, let them all come unto me, and behold, if he comes not, he shall die. And all that he has with his whole household, the king will take. In other words, you come or else. Verse 30. And all the rest of the inhabitants of Africa were terrified at the words of Angeas, and there went out of the city about 300,000 men and boys from 10 years upward, and they came to Angeas. Verse 31. And at the end of 10 days, Angeas renewed the battle against Zepho and the children of Chittim, and the battle was very great and strong between them. Verse 32. And from the army of Angeas and Lucas, Zepho sent many of the wounded unto his land, about 2,000 men. And Sosiphtar, the captain of the host of Angeas, fell in that battle. Verse 33. And when Sosiphtar had fallen, the African troops turned their backs to flee, and they fled, and Angeas and Lucas, his brother, were with them. Verse 34. And Zepho and the children of Chittim pursued them, and they smote them still heavily on the road, about 200 men. And they pursued Asdrubal, the son of Angeas, who had fled with his father, and they smote 20 of his men in the road. And Asdrubal escaped from the children of Chittim, and they did not slay him. Verse 35. And Angeas and Lucas, his brother, fled with the rest of their men, and they escaped and came into Africa with terror and consternation. And Angeas feared all the days lest Zepho, the son of Eliphaz, should go to war with him. In other words, they seriously whipped up on him. And chapter 64. Four is a large chapter, so I'm not going to get into it at this time, because it's several pages. It's 50 big verses. So the next show I'll do 64 and 65, but today. Today I'm going to stop at the end of chapter 63. I don't like to get in the middle of a chapter and then cut it off. That's confusing for you and really doesn't cover the subject matter like I would like to cover it. So I'm gonna cut it right here at the end of chapter 63, and I will pick up in chapter 64 on Wednesday the 14th. I'll probably record it before then. I'm trying to get ahead. I've got the Passover and Feast of Unleavened Bread coming up next month, and I want to get enough shows ahead that I can have fresh shows for people that are celebrating at home. Now, we're very lucky. We go down and camp and fish and have a big Passover feast. Got a whole bunch of people coming, and it's going to be... We do this yearly, okay? We've got a good congregation here, and people come from all over and join us, and it is a marvelous event. We really have a great time in observance to the commands of Yahweh to keep this feast. We wish that other people would organize in their areas. They don't all have to come here. If you're in Florida, do something in Florida. If you're in Wyoming, do something in Wyoming. If you're in Michigan, do something in Michigan. It should be a local thing. You should have people that you know in a joyous time. But the main thing is, you don't have to camp out. This is not Sukkot. This is not the Feast of Tabernacles. You can celebrate Passover and Unleavened Bread in your homes. But if you have a couple of families in the communities, you can have a joint Passover meal. Makes it easier on everybody, and everybody has a wonderful time. Celebrate Passover together. Do it. It's not hard. It's not an onerous thing. We gather in a central point right here in Kentucky, and we invite a bunch of people. We are at a campground with great campsites and hot showers and laundry and fishing. You know, we all fish. I go to the trout stream, and we usually catch in the spring like this. We'll catch a bunch of trout, just a whole bunch of trout. And we'll cook them up, and boy, oh boy, oh boy. Yes, being part of Yahweh's family is not all doom and gloom. Yeah, we have responsibilities, and we are aware of what's going on out in the world. And yep. But it's not all doom and gloom. We have a great amount of fun and good fellowship and camaraderie. Eli's going to be there, and we're going to read scripture and eat and do a little fishing and eat. Well, I'll gain weight again, you know, but I'll probably walk it off. I'm healing up slowly, okay? The rest of my body is fine, but the big thing with the chest, the bones take a while to knit, and I have to be very careful how I do things. Lifting heavy objects, etc., etc. So, I'm being smart, and... Taking care of business in the right manner. So I will enjoy myself very greatly at the feast. As I said, I urge others to observe this. I would really like to see a great revival among Israel, and people that have never celebrated Passover and unleavened bread, read in the scripture of what you're supposed to eat. You don't necessarily have to have a lamb. You don't have pork chops or ham or catfish. But eat biblically clean food and unleavened bread. We bake our own unleavened bread. It doesn't rise like regular bread. And we celebrate the time that Israel left Mitzrayim and we are observant in the way that they observed. So the Passover was for us. It is an Israelite holiday. Has nothing to do with the Talmudists. They are Edomites, and they have nothing to do with this. They are from a different land. They are of a different race now, actually, because they've mingled with all these others. And they are not of the bloodline of Israel. So as Israelites of pure bloodline, it is our duty and our obligation to observe the commandments of Yahweh. We can't just be sayers of it. We have to be doers of them. So this is a perfect opportunity for everybody to do it in fine style, get together, and you can go to different people's homes. Doesn't all have to be at one house. You can celebrate Passover at one guy's house, and then the next night you can have another little feast at somebody else's house. Spread it around and everybody participate and have a good time with it. That's what it's about. This is a good thing, a time of rejoicing. Well, I'm going to get out of here. I've finished the chapters. I'm going to start with chapter 64 for Wednesday. And we'll see how far we get, probably 64 and 65. It's been a pleasure going through the scriptures with you. And we'll keep on keeping on. Praise Yahweh. I'm going to play some of the bumper music and some of the exit music. I'm going to play some songs, finish out the hour. May Yahweh bless and keep all of you. Shalom Aleichem.
I'm not walking with the Lord like I used to. It's like temptation's got a hold of me. Then I cry at night 'cause I ought to. And the praise to Him I hold, I'm on my bended knee. The road I chose to raise my family, and the more I learned forgiveness, the less I saw grief. And the more I watched His children in their eyes, I saw His light. Thank You, Lord, for the blessings. Thank You for the ride. Well, I wanna walk with You. Take my hand. Amen. Hold it tight. I've never crossed this line. With the good Lord willing, I'll walk that peaceful stride. Get on up, hold on, enjoy the ride. I did my time, I paid some heavy dues. And I often wonder, why did the things I do? For the Lord holds all the answers till my questions come what may. We're gonna talk about them soon, show me the way. Well, I wanna walk with you, take my hand, amen. Hold it tight, I've never crossed this line. With the good Lord willing, I'll walk that peaceful stride. Get on up, hold on, enjoy the ride. Well, now the final curtain will be seen. Now it's time to say goodbye to this way of life I've been. So bury me in the cold hard ground, I'll travel through the sky. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings, thank you for the ride. Well, I wanna walk with you, take my hand, amen. Hold it tight, I've never crossed this line. With the good Lord willing, I'll walk that peaceful stride. Get on up, hold on, enjoy the ride. With the good Lord willing, I'll walk that peaceful stride. Get on up, hold on, enjoy the ride. Get on up, hold on, I'll walk the line.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
You're listening to Eurofolkradio.com, a voice for European people worldwide.